has changed your life.
And we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And we are off and running on a wonderful, marvelous Monday right here in beautiful Brevard County, Florida. And we want to take this opportunity to invite you to be part of a miracle, and that is meeting the spring offering fundraising here at WMIE so that the Word of God continues to go forth across the airwaves throughout Brevard County and around the world, carrying the good news of Jesus Christ so that lives are transformed. And that is a miracle. And so if you have not been a part of the ministry of WMIE and would like to become a part of it, they're got a little bit of, or somewhere around a halfway to go on the fundraising side of things yet. Don't feel left out. Just go ahead and get in on the ground floor and become part of this wonderful ministry. 632-1000. And the programs here, they cost money, but that doesn't cover everything. Last fall they had to put in a new transmitter, I believe it was, and the price of the transmitter was more than the goal of the entire fundraiser normally is. So that can become a challenge, and you might have noticed a little bit of disruption in the quality of the sound. That's because they had a backup transmitter. They put that in, and they thought that they would be able to get that tweaked, but they weren't able to do that. So brand spanking new transmitter, and so if you can hear us, that transmitter is the reason why. So 632-1000, tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program, and that would be helpful for us. I tell you this, we look around, we see blinking lights and meters that are going back and forth that tell me that sound is going out, but it doesn't tell me, you know, who's listening. And we would love for you to let us know. Even if you can't support the ministry financially at this time, call in and just say, hey, we're praying for you, and that would be appreciated as well. And let them know what a blessing that the Refresh Radio program is, and that gives us feedback. We don't have Nielsen ratings and all of that sort of stuff. We just have word of mouth, and we would love for you to use your mouth to help get out the word. So 632-1000, tell him you heard about it from Pastor Bob. So we've been talking about out of Acts chapter 26, verse number 25, but he, Paul, said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. Paul was able to correct Festus here and do so in an honoring manner. You know, there are a lot of people that do not know how to disagree. There are people who don't know how to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a problem. You need to know the truth. You also need to know the reason. You need to be able to speak the truth, but you also need to know how to deal with people. People skills are severely lacking in 2022. When I was a teacher a gazillion years ago in a different state, I could already see the deterioration of society. And here's what I told the students of that Christian school. It was this: you all are going to be worth your weight in gold. If you know how to live for Jesus, you are going to be extremely valuable to a company at some point in time. because they're going to want trustworthy employees. They're going to want people who tell the truth and not lie. They're going to want employees working for them that are not going to be stealing but are going to be a benefit. They need people who are going to know how to work and not just how to be a sponge. And so I told him, I said, you need to live your life in such a way that you are a benefit to those in the community around you. So know how to disagree. I had a guy one time, and we were having a season of intensity, and he was trying to argue something, and I wasn't going to argue with him, and he wasn't going to change my mind. I wasn't going to change his, and so I said, well, we're just going to have to agree to disagree then. And he's like, well, that's not a very biblical thing. Well, actually, you know, you can trust some things to God. The Holy Spirit is way better at convincing people than what I am. I can present my case, but if when I've presented my case, you're not convinced, you know, when Paul is here before Agrippa in Acts 26, he says, you almost persuade me. Well, you know, we need to go as far as we can go, and then we need to allow the Holy Spirit to take it even further. Let's look at what Paul had to say, and it explains how he got to where he was, to where, you know, if you threw him in Athens, he was going to be engaging the people at Mars Hill. So it says here in verse number 12, while thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So we're going to work through this passage. I don't know. It might take a couple of days. I don't really know. But I want you to know that a couple of things, that when God speaks to you, he's going to speak to you in a manner that you will understand. If God appeared to me and he spoke, you can pick any language out of the, you know, dictionary, and there's a good chance I'm not going to be able to understand them. Now, if he spoke to me in Spanish, I would be able to pick up on a few words. French, just a couple of words. German, one, maybe a handful of words. But most languages, I'm not going to know. You know, he could be telling me that that he's pleased and appreciative of all that I've done, and you know, be commending me, and I wouldn't understand it. I had a situation one time where there were people, and one of the person, it wasn't me and my wife, wasn't me, period. There a person was saying, you never told me that you love me. And the other person said, I told you all the time. I told you all the time. And I remember at that moment, God said, well, that person may have spoke love in a language that they wanted to express it in, but if they did not express it in a language that the recipient could understand, then the message did not get across. That's why when I'm, you know, here on the radio, I want to try and communicate with you in a practical manner. I'm not here to use flowery words and impress you with degrees or anything like that. Numbers certainly won't impress you. But if I can share the message of the cross and the good news of Jesus Christ here on the radio, and one person get something that day, say, you know what, I've had that situation happen in my life, then that's a successful radio program. Not so much about ratings, but about life transformation here. So, Jesus communicated with Paul. He was still Saul at this point in time. His name was Saul, and Jesus changed his name to Paul, or he became more familiarly known as Paul. And he communicated with him in a manner that he would understand. God will generally start off with a still, small voice. And if that doesn't get it, the volume level increases. And he will keep trying different techniques to get through to you. I had a student that I had to do that to. And finally, one day, all of a sudden, the light bulb went on. This was not one of my worst students. This was one of my best students. Just could not get a grasp on algebra. And finally was able to say something, and the light bulb just went on. And went on and excelled in the test right after that. God keeps trying. He uses different techniques. If you don't believe me, look at the book of Ezekiel and see how many times it says, "Then you shall know that I am the Lord." Something along those lines. And you will find that God will use simple techniques. Sometimes he uses very severe techniques. Not because he's mean, but because you need to know God and have him living in your heart. The second thing I want you to know here in verse number 14 is he knows your name. He knows you personally. God is not looking for an impersonal relationship with you. He's looking for a personal interaction with you. You say, well, this is Paul. No, this is a special thing. Not everybody has a Damascus Road experience. That's true. But everybody was created by God for a godly purpose. Any horrific crime against humanity, any attacking, murderous, that's not part of God's plan. Saul persecuting and martyring Christians, that wasn't part of God's plan. The Damascus Road was Jesus intervening and saying, this is not the reason that I created you. I did not create you to go arrest my saints. I did not create you so that you could persecute me. And he told Saul, he said, it's hard for you to kick against the goads. A goad was a guiding tool that a shepherd would use to try to get a sheep not to go in the direction it wanted to, but in the direction that the shepherd wanted the sheep to go to. So I can tell you from this speech, this declaration of Jesus, that this was not Jesus's first attempt to get through to Saul. Many people who are hostile to the faith are extremely valuable to God, and he has been working with them, and they just seem to get angrier and angrier and more determined and more determined, but God's not going to give up on them. Don't you give up on them either. He knew exactly what was going on. The thing was, Paul did not know who he was talking to. He says, "Who are you, Lord?" He didn't know what was going on. And Jesus says, "I'm Jesus whom you are persecuting." Okay? Some of you right now have believed a lie from the enemy that says you've sinned too much, you've gone too far, and that God doesn't want to have anything to do with you. That is deception straight from the pit of hell. The truth of the matter is Jesus died for you. He shed his blood for you. The truth of the matter is that he's at the right hand of the Father right now interceding for you in accordance with the perfect will of the Father. He loves you. He loves you so much that the Holy Spirit is in relentless pursuit of your attention so he can bring you to Jesus, so you can be forgiven of your sins and he can be the Lord of your life and give you the life that he always wanted you to have. That's the truth of the gospel. Verse number 16, Jesus tells Paul, "Rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you." Okay, so I've appeared to you for this purpose. I'm going to make you something that you're not. You've heard me say on this, I appreciate spiritual giftings test that help us to identify a starting point for where we may find our place of service or our purpose in ministry. The thing that I have about spiritual giftings test that I don't agree on is that it tells you, you know, that many people think that that tells them where they can't serve. And the truth of the matter is this: you may have natural giftings, but God the Holy Spirit can make you into something that you don't have natural giftings for. I'm a natural introvert. Natural introverts do not do well in communication areas of life, you know, where they're dealing with people all day long. I'm in the people business. I am in the redemption business. That's what I do. I love people, but only because God has made me into something that I wasn't. I was always a nice guy. That's what they tell me. People that knew me when I was a kid, there was always something special about you, and not in a negative way. You know, we just knew that God had a call on your life. You know, I wanted everybody to like me. I realized not everybody's going to like me. I've got to the place where I can accept that. I don't want to make people not like me. I just want to say, you know what? I'm going to give you the best representation of the Christ-redeemed Bob Arthurs that I can give you. If you don't like that, I'm not going to let it stop me anymore. So, Jesus was going to make Paul a servant, a minister. That's what the word minister means. It means a person who serves. So if you come to church, if you came to church yesterday, I was preaching. If you come to church this week, I won't be preaching. We've got our missions convention. But that's not the only service that I do. There are a lot of other things that I do that no one sees. And that's okay. I'm not after the accolades of man. I'm here to serve the King. The reason I'm at Merit Assembly of God is I was assigned that post, and I believe it was a God-given mandate. So my job is not to question the assignment that I've been given. The responsibility that I have is to make the most out of every opportunity that is presented to me. So when I first came, it's like, okay, God, been to three other ministry assignments. Actually, it was more like four or five ministries. Thought that I was going to be doing that forever. Didn't look like it was, you know. Then all of a sudden I found out I wasn't going to be doing it forever. And so this one probably will fall in line with that. So my goal was to serve so that whenever I handed the baton off to someone else, that the church was in better shape than it was when I found it. That was my goal. And I've been here almost 30 years now. So there's been a lot of different areas of service. And even though I'm not preaching this week, does not mean I will not be serving. I will be addressing other things. It might allow me to get caught up on some of the study that I've got to do for five radio programs and a couple of sermons on a weekly basis. So I'm Jesus said to Paul, I make you a minister and a witness. And a witness. Now, I will tell you, when you ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life, when you ask him to forgive you your sins, he makes you a witness to the things that you hear and the things that you see and the things that he reveals to you. There are three things, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet to reveal to you, and in one of the other passages, and the things that you hear. Those three things. So when you hear the radio program, I hope that the Holy Spirit triggers something in you and say, man, I've got to tell somebody that. That's great. That's fantastic. I'm the person that would much rather tell somebody wonderful news than tell somebody horrible news. So if I hear a testimony, if I hear a miracle, I'm going to celebrate with you. I'm going to rejoice with you, and I'm going to proclaim that from the rooftops. But there are also things that I've seen. And those things I'm going to rejoice. You know why? Because nobody can make me unsee that. When you have seen the goodness of God in the land of the living, no one can make you not testify about the things that you have seen. And then the other thing that I share is I share about the things that that God reveals to me. You know, I love the fact that no matter how many times you read the Word of God, no matter how many times you've heard the Word of God or heard a sermon, all of a sudden you can hear something and the Holy Spirit just make it alive in your heart. I love that. I love that. And that's all witnessing is. Now, not everybody is called to be a full-time evangelist, but everyone is called to be a witness. You have a sphere of influence that I do not have. I've got a sphere of influence that you don't have. But if everybody that was attending church and named the name of Christ, if all of us were testifying to our sphere of influence, there would be some crossover. There would be some convergence there. There would be some people that every time they turned around, they were getting they were having a conversation with somebody that was giving them a rational reason to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But if nobody, see, everybody thinks that somebody is doing the work of the evangelist, and in most cases, nobody is the person doing that. And then we wonder why people aren't getting born again, why they're not getting saved, why they're not giving their life to Jesus. Let's be the witness. Now, I do need to share one aspect, a sobering aspect of being a witness. And you don't want to, some people won't want to hear this, but the word witness is actually the same word for martyr. It means that we are going to say, God, your kingdom, seeking first your kingdom and your righteousness is more important to me than the things that I want to do. A lot of times we think of a martyr as someone whose life is taken from them due to their testimony about Jesus Christ. I'd kind of like to reframe that for you, because not all of us are going to, you know, be called to lay down our life in a physical, literal sense for the gospel. But all of us have life aspirations and life goals and financial plans and things like that. And there may be times where you are called to say, okay, this is Jesus talking, and I need you to allow me to reorder your life, because I've got somebody that I need you to testify about. I will tell you this. We learned from when we were studying missions, there was a person that said the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the gospel. Wherever a person is willing to go and represent Jesus, even to their own detriment, it's not long until the kingdom is going to be manifesting there. I can tell you, if the Holy Spirit is putting his finger on something in your life and he's saying, I want you to surrender this, I want you to put this in my hands, I want you to allow me to be able to use you as a witness, and that kind of goes against your personality, but if you'll trust me, I'm going to make something wonderful out of this. I want to encourage you to do that. You know, most of the regrets that I deal with, I know that there are some people that say I don't live with regrets. Well, most of the regrets that I live with don't have anything to do with what I did for Jesus. They are more what I failed to do for Jesus. And so, you know what? I want to live with fewer regrets because I'm quicker to obey. So that's where we are. I'm going to make a note of that and try and remember where we ended up there in verse number 16 for tomorrow's program. I do want to remind you one more time, 632-1000. 632-1000, that is the phone number for WMIE. When you call, you will get Paul. And Paul will be more than glad to talk to you and be very, very thankful. He'll, you know, if you want to be mentioned on the air, he'll mention you on the air and what you gave. But thank you. Let me just say in advance, thank you for equipping WMIE, because WMIE makes the Refresh radio program possible through their technology. And because of that, people's lives are changed throughout the day, not just through this program, but through lots of other programs. So thank you very much. Tell them you heard about it on the Refresh radio program. And we will see you tomorrow right here. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Great. things he has done. So loved he